yam,
yam,
deserve to remain.
Deserve to remain.
Tat,
tat,
therefore.
Therefore.
Adharma,
adharma,
irreligiosity.
Irreligiosity.
Bandho,
bandho,
friend.
Friend.
Dharmena,
dharmena,
with religion.
With religion.
Satyena,
satyena,
with truth.
With truth.
Cha,
cha,
also.
Also.
Martitavye,
martitavye,
being situated in.
Brahma
Avarte,
place where sacrifice is performed.
Yatra,
yatra,
where?
Where?
Yajanti,
duly performed.
Yajnaye,
by sacrifices or devotional services.
Yajna Ishwaram,
unto the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead.
Yajna,
sacrifice.
Vitana,
spreading.
Vigyaha,
experts.
Translation. Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yageshvara, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the beneficiary of all kinds of sacrificial ceremonies. Such sacrificial ceremonies are prescribed differently in the scriptures for different ages. In other words, sacrifice means to accept the supremacy of the Lord and thereby perform acts by which the Lord may be satisfied in all respects. The atheists do not believe in the existence of God, and they do not perform any sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. Any place or country where the supremacy of the Lord is accepted and thus sacrifice is performed is called Brahmavarta. There are different countries in different parts of the world, and each and every country may have different types of sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. But the central point is pleasing Him. The central point in pleasing Him is ascertained in the Bhagavatam, and it is truthfulness. The basic principle of religion is truthfulness, and the ultimate goal of all religions is to satisfy the Lord. In this age of Kali, the greatest common formula of sacrifice is the Sankirtan Yajna. That is the opinion of the experts who know how to propagate the process of Yajna. Lord Chaitanya preached this method of Yajna, and it is understood from this verse that the sacrificial method of Sankirtan Yajna may be performed anywhere and everywhere in order to drive away the personality of Kali and save human society from falling prey to the influence of the age. Navartitavyam taradharma bandho dharmena satyena cha vartitavye brahmavarte yatra yajanti yagyair yagyeshvaram yagyavitana vidyaha omajyanatimanandasya gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Minatandena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Well, this is the real definition of religion. To satisfy the Lord. That is religion. And there may be different details according to ages and according to location on how that is executed. But religion is one in that principle that religion means to behave in such a way in accordance with the satisfaction of the Lord, according to His desire. If that is accepted, then there's no need to fight thinking that one religion is better than another, or there are so many religions. There's only one religion, and that is to please the Lord. So, there may be different details on how to perform that yajna. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, invoked that principle in preaching in the West. For example, he allowed, not only allowed, but he established a Brahmacharini ashram in the centers that he established. This is somewhat innovative. Generally speaking, ladies were not accommodated in the ashrams, in the temples themselves. They would live with either their husbands or fathers or what have you, sons. But Srila Prabhupada saw that in the Western culture, the fathers and husbands and sons were not protecting the women. Therefore, they needed protection, and so he made that arrangement. But that is not outside of the principles of Dharma. That is simply an adjustment according to time and circumstance, a detail. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami explains that he was discussing general principles of devotional service, but there are many details, and they may vary from place to place. Just like, for example, everyone is supposed to have a guru, spiritual master. So, one guru may favor a particular kind of service or may encourage certain disciple in a particular way. And another guru, another spiritually advanced person, might suggest something else. It doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong. According to time and circumstance, different doctors may prescribe different medicine, but the aim is the same, to cure the patient. So we don't say that this doctor was wrong. As long as we see that the disease is going away, that the age of Kali is being repelled and defeated, and that can be done by yajna. Here, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that actually the central point of all religion is yajna, sacrifice. Yajna vai Vishnu, to please Vishnu. He's the beneficiary. Everything should be done for his satisfaction. Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat jahosi dadasi, yat tapasyasi konteya, tat karushva mararpanam. Krishna says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to Krishna, to me. So, the most applicable form of sacrifice for this age is Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangas Japarshadai Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedisa. Srimad Bhagavatam concludes that for the age of Kali, those who have Sumedisaha, who have good brain substance, they will participate in the Sankirtan movement. That means the congregational glorification of the Lord. And that is something that everyone can be part of. We don't mind. Srila Prabhupada was not overly concerned with the different designations, that we have to change the designation from being Christian to being Hare Krishna or Buddhist or Jew to become Hindu or Christian. These are the material designations. We're not so much interested in that. You can hold on to whatever conception or even whatever designation you have, if you wish, but we recommend adopting this process of Sankirtan Yajna, chanting the holy names of God. If you have bona fide names of God, then you may chant that. When Srila Prabhupada went to Iran, he was informed that the people, they're very fond of chanting Allah. So Prabhupada said, yes, so let them chant Allah. We encourage that. Because that is a bona fide name for God, the greatest. Someone may like to chant the name Rama. So they can chant Rama, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes he encouraged his disciple Murari Gupta, who was a Ram Bhakta. He sometimes encouraged him, why don't you chant Krishna? why don't you accept Krishna as your Ishtadev? Ishtadev means your worshipable deity. And he tried, Murari Gupta, but he was unable to. He came back crying and said, I can't give up Lord Ram. And Lord Chaitanya accepted that. Yes, that's because you're the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. You're actually Hanuman. And he accepted it. He said, glorious is that servant that never gives up the master, and glorious is that master that never gives up the servant. Same thing. Rupa and Sanatan tried to encourage their brother, Vallabha, to become a Krishna Bhakta more. Of course, they were all devoted to Lord Chaitanya. That was the unique, or the uniting force, that everyone there accepted Lord Chaitanya was not only Krishna and Rama. He is that original personality of Godhead. So they were all devoted to Lord Chaitanya, but still some of them were inclined towards Lord Ramachandra, and some of them were inclined towards Lord Krishna. Even some were inclined towards Lord Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan. But that's all right. Vishnu Tattva. It's all by worshipping Vishnu Tattva, one gets the same effect. One gets free from the material existence. Whereas by worshipping the demigods, one does not become free. Well, that is the difference. To compare Vishnu with the demigods is considered Pashanda, Prashandi. And it is offensive to the Lord. And it is an offense to the chanting of the holy names. Vallabha also couldn't give up his attachment to Lord Ramachandra. And that was also accepted by Rupa and Sanatana. So, there's no harm. Whatever form of the Lord, whatever name of the Lord one is especially attracted to, that can be accepted. There is, according to the individual taste. Of course, most of us have no conception of God or no conception of God's name. So for us, the easiest process is to accept the Maha Mantra because it was chanted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he quoted from the Vedas, Iti Shodashakam Namnam Kalikalmasha Nashanam. And the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This 16-word mantra can eliminate all the pernicious effects of the age of Kali, and one will not find a better system throughout all the Vedas. This is described in the Vedas themselves. So the Maha Mantra is there. It is not a nifty little concoction, cute little jingle. But it's there in the Vedas. It's recommended, the specific mantra. So we don't change the mantra. Nittai Gaur Radhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Ram, or different, coming up with different kinds of mantras. We have to be cautious. These mantras are not to be tampered with. The mantra that one gets from the spiritual master should be chanted just the way it was received. If one changes it, then we'll lose the effect. One will become confused. It's like the persons who chant that concocted mantra. They are unknowingly committing an error in Rasa Bhas. They don't understand that actually Nittai and Gaur are not Radha Krishna, but Nittai and Gaur are Balaram and Krishna. Well, that's a mistake. And it will have some effect, serious effect, on their spiritual advancement. So spiritual life is not something that one can tamper with. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidimbina Aikantiki Harer Bhakti Utpatayaiva Kalpate. One must consult the Vedic literatures and make sure that his devotional service is in line. As soon as he ventures off, deviates the so-called devotional service that he's performing will simply be an unnecessary disturbance in society. One cannot make up his own religion or his own religious mantras or formulas. No. We have to hear from the authorities. So the Hare Krishna mantra, just like sometimes people like to add Bolo Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada said, don't do that. The Maha Mantra is perfect already. You don't need to add Bolo. Why not Bolo Bolo? Hare Hare Bolo 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 Hare Krishna Hare. You can add so many. There's no end. And someone else will, not Bolo, I'll add something else. You know, Radha. Or sometimes devotees like to chant instead of Hare Krishna, Radhe Govinda. The Prabhupada didn't give us Radhe Govinda. He gave us Hare Krishna. But we should chant that. That's the Maha Mantra. And he emphasized it again and again that basically the devotees in this movement should be chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra and the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti. Those are the primary mantras that we chant, kirtan. So it's very simple for the simple, but difficult for those who are very complicated, complex. Well, why one mantra? Why the Maha Mantra? Why not a different mantra? This is our disease. Srila Prabhupada said, you Westerners have three diseases. One disease, you quarrel unnecessarily. Second disease is you're too much attached to sex life. And third disease is you like to make unnecessary changes. So there's no need to change. Narad Muni brought the Maha Mantra. Lord Chaitanya is chanting the same mantra. All the acharyas are chanting this mantra. And it will have the full effect. Everything is there. Radha is there, Krishna is there. And as far as Ram, Prabhupada said that Ram can refer to Balaram and also Lord Ramachandra. So everything's there. Nothing lacking. Srila Prabhupada says, the basic principle of religion is truthfulness. And the ultimate goal of all religions is to satisfy the Lord. In this age of Kali, the greatest common formula of sacrifice is the Sankirtan Yoga. It's like when we go out on Harinam chanting. So, that is easy to unite on the platform of chanting the holy names. You can see all kinds of people are appreciating. Everyone was actually taking part in the Sankirtan Yoga. If they weren't there, we wouldn't have gone out chanting there. So they're also part of it, and they're an important part. If there was no one on the Kalverstraat, then we might have chanted somewhere else. But because there's so many people, they also take part in the Sankirtan Yoga. That doesn't mean, of course, we encourage everyone to remain immersed in the material world and just go up and down the Kalverstraat so we can have people to chant to. We can also chant without the non-devotees, but it is Lord Chaitanya's mercy that he allows them to play a very important role in the Sankirtan movement, that they're the ones that are targeted. They're the targets, in one sense. They're the targets in that by directing the chanting or the yajna performance in their presence, then they also get the chance to become devotees. And that's really the goal, that everyone should become a devotee. It's not that people just accept theoretically. No. They should actually become devotees, whether they're devotees in their home or they're devotees in the community. But devotees, that's what Krishna is talking about in Bhagavad Gita. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Always think of me and Bhava. Bhava means become. Mad Bhakto, my devotee. Always think of me and become my devotee. That's his instruction. So we have to give the same instruction. Another important point here is that Kali, friend of irreligion, he did not deserve to remain in the place where the experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means we cannot allow in our temples the activities which are Kali Yuga oriented. Those four activities, when Parikshit Maharaj vanquished Kali from his kingdom, Kali begged him, please give me some place to stay. I need a place. I'm also your servant now. I've surrendered to you. All right. So he said, all right, you can stay wherever there's illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. These four places. So we cannot allow those activities of Kali in our Krishna consciousness movement. And the leaders have to be vigilant to keep them out, just as Parikshit Maharaj is keeping them out. You get out. No, we're not allowing any of these activities. If we do that, then our movement will remain strong and will grow. And if we allow them to come in, then the movement will be finished, at least temporarily. And persons who are addicted to these activities, then they can come and visit, but they cannot live in that association. Because then the whole atmosphere will come down as soon as you allow that. And we've seen over the years, it's been attempted to try being so-called liberal and so-called merciful. But that's not merciful, because it's disregarding the order of the spiritual master and disregarding the example given by Parikshit Maharaj. Have to protect that environment, at least the environment that we are responsible for, and that is this movement, and that is the centers that Krishna has kindly agreed to come. So that is an important responsibility also. That doesn't mean that we're being unkind. It's kind to set the standard, to establish the principles of truthfulness and to establish the principles of cleanliness, to make sure that that standard is kept. That is kindness. Otherwise, if you allow everything to become lowered, and there's no standard, there's no spiritual atmosphere. Prabhupada wanted our temples to be so surcharged with spiritual potency that as soon as someone came into the association, they became influenced and they wanted to become devotees. But that atmosphere is just so surcharged with bhakti, with pure bhakti. So it's our duty now, we've inherited the responsibility to carry on this movement, and you all here in Holland, you have a very important responsibility to carry on this movement. Each and every one of you is responsible. Take it very seriously. Become good examples yourselves and preach very strongly. Strongly doesn't mean violently, but it means hitting them over the head, but firmly, convincingly, based on shastras, uncompromising, and able to defeat all other philosophies. This philosophy is certainly the superior philosophy to all others, because Krishna is the supreme philosopher. Therefore, naturally, his philosophy will defeat everyone else. How will Uspensky hold up to Krishna? You see. So, everyone will have to take a lower position and have to submit. Just as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he defeated all other philosophies. He was traveling all over India. He came to the Mayavadis, defeated them. Then the Buddhists, he defeated them. Then the Mohammedans, he defeated them. And even Tattvavadis. Every different group of philosophers, Lord Chaitanya was able to easily defeat them. So, actually, Srila Prabhupada wrote me a letter once, and he talked about Amsterdam. And he said, yes, he said, we were just in Amsterdam, and we found that people were... People at that time, that was Vondel Park, right? That was the hippie days. He said they were so fallen, I forget the word exactly that he used, but basically he said they were not able to understand philosophy at that time. He said, so we just chant and distribute prasadam. That was what he suggested. And he said, later on, when they become a little purified, then we have so many big, big books we can distribute. Of course, that was specifically referring to that group of drug-taking hippies that were really so... they couldn't understand any philosophy. But we should combine all these weapons. Distribute prasadam as much as possible. Chant Hare Krishna publicly as much as possible. And distribute books as much as possible. All these three together will be very effective. For, you see, yesterday, how the Dutch people like to chant and dance. Very nice program. And did they take prasadam enthusiastically afterwards? Yes, of course. So, this is the program, and then we have books also. They like the books. So, we have a good stock of books. Can distribute as many as possible, and somebody also should make sure that the stock is also supplied. Some BBT devotees should make sure that the books are there. That's also important. That's part of the program. You can't just distribute the books. You have to make sure they're being produced. Make sure. Then Srila Prabhupada will give his blessings, Lord Chaitanya will give his blessings, everything will come. Everything will expand, and the people of Holland will actually love Krishna consciousness. Right now they're a little bit too much into the somebody speculating and philosophical, what about this philosophy, that philosophy, this? You know, they want to be very open. Pride themselves a little on being open-minded and like that. So open-minded that God somehow or other got left out of the picture. So we have to bring Krishna back in and show them that actually the most open-minded person, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda, what is that verse? Doya karaha vichar, vichar karile chitte pabe chametkar. That if you carefully analyze the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, meaning mercy, his instructions, then you will find that there's nothing to compare. And that's true. So let the Dutch people analyze, let them ask as many questions as they like, and we will try to answer them according to Lord Chaitanya's teachings. As long as they chant, they may go on with so many doubts, on and on and on. That's all right, but just keep chanting and taking prasadam. The process will work. You'll become purified. So thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, but Srila Prabhupada is making the assertion that truthfulness is the most important of the four. In general, truthfulness. Sometimes it's described that truthfulness means to know the absolute truth. That's one definition. Another definition is to not tell something untrue. To just not tell lies. The Bhumi, the personification of the earth, she says, I can bear the weight of huge mountains, and I can bear the weight of seas, very heavy oceans, but I can't bear the weight of a liar. So, that's a religious principle. And that's universal. Everyone agrees. You shouldn't tell lies, isn't it? Don't lie. Present things as they are. So, that's a practice devotees should follow also. Even on Sankirtan, believe it or not. We shouldn't tell lies. Because you don't want to put down your regulative devotional principles just to supposedly be effective in your service. The service goes well with the religious principles also. You can sell books without telling lies, by telling the truth. Because actually, Krishna is whatever you glorify the book, Krishna's books, you can't actually exaggerate how wonderful it is. And it really does cover all the topics. Someone's interested in martial arts. Well, this Bhagavad Gita. What is a better martial arts book than that? Krishna is giving the whole philosophy behind the fighting and how a warrior should meditate, how he should do his martial arts. Who is a better martial arts master than Arjuna? He not only knew, how to, fight with his arms and legs, but with arrows and bows and astras, divine weapons, clubs, everything. The greatest martial arts. So how can you say this Bhagavad Gita is not a book about martial arts? It is. Of course, it's more than that too. But it certainly includes martial arts. It certainly includes the perfection of sociology, setting up the whole Varnashram system, political science. It's all there. Mahabharata, there are so many intrigues, and Krishna is saying, yes, that you are considering that you shouldn't fight because of political reasons, but there's a higher principle for political science, and that is, what does God want? That's the essence of political science. That the leaders of society have to follow his will. So everything is there if you analyze from any aspect. So in that regard, you won't be telling anything untrue. The more you glorify and the more you analyze these Vedic scriptures. But don't say anything untrue, because later on it will haunt you. Then they'll come. They'll see you sometime. You said this. Why did you say that? See, then you're in trouble. Because you have to be guru. You're out there on Sankirtan to be a guru. You're acting as their spiritual guide. So a guru doesn't say something just according to, just to make some point untrue. He always says the truth. So that later on, when they see you again, you can say, yes, so you'll be happy to see them. You won't be hiding. And then they'll say, yes, you gave me this book and I'm reading it and it's very nice and your character is very nice. They have to see our character is very nice also. The devotees. So this is a good point. But all four principles, not only truthfulness, also cleanliness, also compassion, and also austerity. These four are reestablished by the Sankirtan movement automatically. Well, at least truthfulness here is being given the Śrīla Prabhupāda's giving it the top position. As far as the others, in Satya Yuga, all four principles are present. In the next age, austerity is diminished. And then, is it perhaps cleanliness? I don't know which one. And then compassion, animal, Kali's attacking the cow and the bull. And truthfulness is the only one remaining in Kali Yuga. And even that leg, one leg of the bull, is very shaky. But there's still some truthfulness. People have some faith that someone will tell the truth. So therefore it's very important that the brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, that they establish that principle. A Brahmin is supposed to be so truthful that if a thief comes and asks him, where are you keeping your money? And he says, yes, right over there. That's how truthful he's supposed to be. Any other questions? Yeah, but who's qualified to chant Vedic mantras? In the age of Kali, nobody. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. So everyone's born a Shudra. So everyone's wiped out. They can't chant the Vedic mantras. So chant Hare Krishna. And that verse that we quoted from the Kali Santara Upanishad, in that mantra, it is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. But anyway, we don't care. So if you want to chant Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, it's not so bad. Because if you chant enough, it'll come out the same anyway. We chant continuously. We don't just chant one time.
So the reason why they left this on is because we're not qualified to chant enough.
Maybe.
How many
religions? The demigods only have one religion. They're all devotees of Krishna. Every demigod. Otherwise they don't get the post. They don't get the position unless they become devotees. Because Indra is the king of the demigods and he accepts Krishna. And Brahma is the chief of the demigods in terms of brahminically inclined. He's the supreme brahmana in the universe. And Indra is the supreme kshatriya. So, but they're all devotees of Krishna. Govindam Maripurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Shiva's a devotee of Krishna. All the big demigods. So all the little demigods, they also have to be devotees of Krishna. Just like in our movement. All the big leaders are devotees of Krishna. So all the other devotees, they also have to be devotees of Krishna. Demigods means devotee. They're devotee of Krishna. 33 million devotees.
Please, can you explain more synthesis of Harinam and book distribution?
Synthesis of, yes, Prabhupada said book distribution and Harinam should go on simultaneously.
Sometimes it's not so easy because the group is
going. Of the two, I remember when book distribution really took off in our movement. Up till that time, book distribution was not very prominent. It was Harinam. We used to do a lot of Harinam, 8 hours a day on the street, at least 8 hours a day. Some temples did more. But I remember, yeah, at least 8 hours a day. So during that time, the main thing was just chanting. And sometimes we would distribute back to Godhead magazines. That we did. But those days we could distribute them for a quarter. 25 cents was a back to Godhead, and still there was profit, inflation. And of course, we printed them in large quantities. You know, 500,000, 1,000,000 copies per month. So when you print in that quantity, the price goes way down. So we were distributing back to Godhead magazine, and we would distribute, you know, a few hundred, maybe in a day. So that was nice. But big books, not so much. I remember in the evenings, when we would be chanting on Harinam, sometimes a devotee would set up a table right in front of the Harinam party, a little table, folding table, and he'd have some teachings of Lord Chaitanya and some magazines, and he'd sell a couple. Few devotees would sell one or two books, and that was it. That was it for book distribution. We tried selling a few to the bookshops, and, you know, out of politeness, they would take a few, but usually they wouldn't sell in very large quantities in the bookshops. So that was book distribution, and the books were, Prabhupada had already printed several titles, and they were simply sitting in the warehouse. And Prabhupada was not pleased. And he made it known that I'm not encouraged to write more books if you don't distribute the ones I've given you. Why are they sitting in the warehouse? Why don't you distribute them? Devotees were scratching their heads. It's not possible. How can you distribute books? It's not. I mean, magazines, yes. That we know how to do. But books, we thought it was, you know, not possible. And so Prabhupada gave the formula. He said, you fill up a van with books, and put some devotees in it and send them out until they distribute the books and they can come back. But nobody thought that was practical. No one thought that was possible. So finally, one group of devotees did it in Vancouver. They were the first ones to take that instruction. They filled it up with books. They went out and they distributed all those books and they wrote. And they said, Prabhupada, it worked. Prabhupada was very pleased. Thank you very much. Then the next group was San Francisco. They caught the fire. And they started selling Krishna books. They had those big two-volume Krishna books. And those books cost us $4. We had to pay the DBT $4. No, each one. So, but they were a very big book, hardback, with color cover, and so many color pictures inside. Actually, I remember when those books first arrived. It was at the San Francisco Rath Yatra in 1970. And Srila Prabhupada was there. And he hadn't seen them, and they just arrived. Just as the parade was about to begin, he was standing there in front of the carts, and they came up and said, Srila Prabhupada, the Krishna book has just arrived. And Prabhupada was delighted. He had just seen it, and he held it up, had the devotees hold it up to the crowd, and said, they're just arrived. And then they showed the pictures one by one. They showed all the pictures. Everyone was going, wow, we've never seen such pictures. Because at that time, there were no pictures to speak of. Well, Nectar Devotion, there were some pictures. But these were pastimes that most of the devotees had not heard about. Only some do. I remember Vishnu John Swami. He had had the opportunity to read some of the transcripts of the Krishna book. So on Harinam, we'd be chanting, and we'd stop for a minute. He'd say, I'll tell you a pastime. Krishna. And then he'd tell us some pastime that we, of course, had never heard. It was very delightful. But these pictures were all new, and the pastimes were all new, so he was turning the pages, we were seeing the pictures, everyone was cheering. It was such an occasion. And he had 10 books, as far as I recall. And he said, okay, now I'm going to sell these books. Prabhupada personally said, anyone who has $10 may come forward and I'll give him a book. So, that was the first time I was lamenting that I gave all my money to the temple because I had no money. I had given everything. I was like, what happened? Now I have no money. And what made it worse was one of my friends from high school, kind of a hippie, he turned up at the Rath Yatra. I hadn't seen him in 3 or 4 years. And he just happened to turn up there. And he had $10 and he bought a Krishna book. I thought, this is really ironic. I've joined the movement. I've surrendered to Krishna. And this friend of mine, he's still completely in Maya, but he got a Krishna book. So I had to look at his Krishna book. Anyway, it was nice. But Prabhupada showed us how to sell the books. He sold all 10. He didn't even keep one for himself. He sold all of them, one after the other. People came up with $10. He said, gave them the book, took their lakshmi. So the idea was, we were thinking that we have to sell them, you know, at a higher price, you know, $10 or $8 or something like that. And somehow or other, we had this block. We just couldn't get over it. Then, finally, some devotees in San Francisco, they went to a gas station, and after they filled up, they said, hey, they showed them the books, said, why don't you take the books in replacement for the gas? And the attendant said, okay. So they were shocked that they could actually do that. Then they started, you know, buying more gas and, you know, selling books that way. Then, you know, there's only so much gas you can buy. So then they started going to, you know, gas station attendants, you know, without buying gas and saying, well, why don't you pay for them? People started paying for them, and then they started. So in this way, the book started going out. And then the Sankirtan leader, he got the idea that we don't even care about profit. He said, Prabhupada wanted these books, so we're just going to sell them for $4. So he did. He just started selling them for $4. And of course, that was, you could say, a stroke of genius, because it got the, what do you call it, it primed the pump, it got it going, it made it, It made it easier to sell them. So once they started selling, it was just it was like a whole rage. Everyone got into it. San Francisco was just on fire for distributing books. And they were writing, sending the letters to Prabhupada, how many books were distributed. Prabhupada was so pleased. He was just completely satisfied. And then everyone wanted to get that mercy that they were getting. So then I remember Los Angeles got into the fire. And it so happened at that time that the president of San Francisco and sending the letters to Prabhupada, how many books were distributed. Prabhupada was so pleased. He was just completely satisfied. And then everyone wanted to get that mercy that they were getting. So then I remember Los Angeles got into the fire. And it so happened at that time that the president of San Francisco and the president of Los Angeles were brothers, Keshava and Karandar. So Karandar was the senior from Los Angeles, but Keshava had gotten the book distribution started. So now Karandar was getting book distribution going in Los Angeles, and there was this fierce competition between L.A. and San Francisco. And Prabhupada was you know, like fanning the fire of the competition. And he kept saying, he'd write a letter to Karandar and said, I thought that you were better than your brother, but now I see he's better than you. He's defeated. Then he'd write to Keshava and said, yes, I see that you are defeating your brother and you're distributing the most books. Therefore, when I come to America, I will have to stay in San Francisco. So, you know, this competition was going on. Everyone got into it. So for a while, the Harinam basically, you know, kind of got stopped because the excitement for the book distribution got so intense. But then some devotees asked Prabhupada, he said, yes, you should do both, Harinam. But of the two, he said, book distribution is more important. He said, that is the greater kirtan because it is the Brihad Mridanga. You know, when you play Mridanga, the famous quotes, when you play Mridanga, you can hear it for a block or two, but through the printing press, the Brihad Mridanga, you can hear it all over the world. So of the two, book distribution is more important, but the Harinam, the chanting, should also go on. And we can see how they contribute to each other. They're compatible.
It seems sometimes that even Harinam is more amazing for the people to be attracted to.
Yeah, it's certainly good, but when they take a book home, then they have something to refer to again and again, and they'll pick up that book and read it. Or if they don't, their children may, or their grandchildren, or somebody visiting. There's so many stories. Just having the books, that they have Vishnu in their home. They actually are taking home a deity. So it's, there's nothing to compare.
Of course, with the modern mass media, the small Vedanta also causes many more. It also becomes a big Vedanta.
You mean by media, like television? Television,
radio.
Yeah, yeah. That's also very good. So yeah, the more we can do that Harinam, that's very good. And the more we can distribute books simultaneously, the two can go together. That will be successful. We saw how the whole the explosion, Hare Krishna explosion in Eastern European countries was primarily because of the book distribution, because they couldn't chant publicly at all. Now, they chanted privately in their homes, but the real thing, it was the real kirtan that was going on, was these underground books being copied and distributed and chanted that caused the breakdown of the materialistic civilization over there, atheistic, destroyed by the transcendental literature. Any other? Means blessings from the spiritual master. Krishna bestows upon his pure representatives the power to give blessings, to bless others by his association and by his well wishes and by his knowledge. So that's why the guru, when he gives blessings, he touches the head of the disciple. And the disciple, to get the blessings, he touches the feet of the guru. So, the guru is empowered to give the blessings of Krishna, in other words. He has no blessings of his own. He doesn't think, oh yes, I'm so full of blessings. I'm so blessed. Guru doesn't think that he's blessed. I'm blessed and I'm going to give you my blessings. He doesn't really think like that. He's thinking, I will pray to Krishna that he bestows, that he showers his blessings upon you. So when he says, please accept my blessings, he means that I'm praying to Krishna for your well-being, that Krishna bestows his blessings upon you. That's my understanding. No, in the spiritual realm, he appears in his real form. Right now, he's in his somewhat seed-like form, and he's expanding through matter. But in the spiritual world, then he expands through spirit into his original transcendental form.
And then, what's the meaning of one ten thousand?
That means the seed, the soul in the seed-like form. That is the dimension. That is, and it's very, very small. In other words, extremely, extremely small. So small that he can enter into, you know, the smallest little body like that. Yeah, as he's appearing now, in this state. And once he gets free from this material entanglement, then mukti svayam, mukti hitva anita rupam, svarupena vyavastiti. The real liberation means when he assumes his transcendental form, his swarup. So that's when he's liberated, then he appears. That's why the merging into the Brahman effulgence is not real liberation. It's not real mukti. Because the swarup is not there. He's still in that seed-like, very small form. He hasn't received his form yet because he hasn't become a personalist. He's still an impersonalist. He doesn't want a form. So he's just got his seed-like spiritual existence vibrating as a part of the white light, the Brahman effulgence. But that's not the original, the real position. He has to go back to Godhead. Unchangeable in the sense that cannot be altered by anything material and does not become anyone else. Unchangeable in that sense. That's a nice question. But, not in the spiritual sense. In the spiritual sense, he's still not changeable materially, but we learn, for example, a very extraordinary circumstance when Krishna went to the city of Mithila, and he was accompanied by many great sages. So he was received simultaneously by two devotees, Bahulashva the king and what was his name? Shrutadev. Shrutadev, the poor Brahmana. So they both came to Krishna and wanted him and his guests to come to their home for a prasad. Krishna is being he's so kind-hearted. You get an insight into Krishna by these pastimes. Krishna couldn't bear to say no to either one of them. He just couldn't do it. That's Krishna. He couldn't, you know, Krishna's not cold-hearted. No, I'm going to go here. The other one would have just been, you know, destroyed. So, okay, so he expanded himself into two Krishnas, and because both of them had invited Krishna with his associates, they would have been disappointed if he came without the associates. So he expanded the associates into two also. So Krishna and the associates expanded into two, and they both went to the two homes. So how's that? Because Krishna arranged for these souls to expand. As he can expand, then he also arranged for the devotees to expand. So it doesn't mean that the soul was changed, but it just expanded in a transcendental way. Yes?
I saw quotes from Prabhupada that the super soul is like 8 inches. Yeah, like this. But also it said that it's even so small that it enters.
Yeah. In the purport he says proportionate to the body.
But if For example, for us, it's like this.
Yeah.
But this, if the soul is 1/10,000th part, then the super soul is even, sometimes it's even so small, it enters the Atma.
Uh-huh.
It sits in the heart.
Smaller than the smallest. Yes. Anora niyan, mahato mahiyan.
So, 8 inches and smaller than the smallest.
8 inches, but that's proportionate to the size of the body that one has. So in a little body like this, then the super soul will be scaled down proportionately.
So it's not that the super soul is smaller than the soul. Is that also your soul?
Super soul is smaller than the smallest. He's not limited. He's unlimitedly small. He enters even into the heart of the soul, sometimes it's described. Sometimes it's described that the Lord exhibits His smallest characteristic through as the individual souls. Sometimes it describes He even enters into the hearts of the living entities. So, yes, He's smaller than the smallest. Otherwise you might get puffed up thinking, I'm even smaller than Krishna. No, He's also smaller. He's bigger, smaller.
He still is like this.
We're not the most anything. Prabhupada said, you're not the most fallen even. Don't even be proud of being the most fallen. Well, whatever. But still, we're just insignificant. That's what Prabhupada, because someone was saying, I'm the most fallen. It was going on and on. And Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You're just insignificant. So our tendency to become proud is so prominent that we'll even be proud of being the most fallen. I'm the most fallen.
And I'm speaking a lot with other devotees also about it, that especially Madhukis are joining not so quickly here in this song. So can you... explain the formula to attract people to Krishna consciousness, especially when they come into the Sunday feast, and to guide them properly, and how we can give them practical service.
I just wrote a book about that. I suggest you read the book. Little commercial there. Whatever. First thing is you can ask them to give you donations so you can read the book. I think that's the best thing. And then after, because really everything, I worked on it quite some, for many years, and everything that I have experienced and everything that I know about it, and we got all of Prabhupada's quotes, everything's there. So if you read that, I think you'll get some good ideas on how to proceed step by step. Okay, if you still have questions, I'm on email. You can email me, and I'll try to answer any other questions. Okay? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Holy Lord, stand up here for the
Jai.